City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 473. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Scott Duff.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Oh my God, we're having a menage a trois.
It's lovely and kind of hot.
It is.
It's a sexy little triumvirate we're having
it
here.
It is.
Unfortunately, two of us have head colds.
Yes, two of us are sick. So
I know, but only one of us is wearing Guinness boxer shorts.
I am wearing Guinness boxer shorts.
It's hot.
So
I'm
adorable.
In my underwear, people.
It's
I'm literally
hot.
In my.
This is what we do.
I do have the legs for it.
You really do.
You really do.
I'm kidding.
You really do.
No, actually, I'm not kidding. I do have the legs.
So we should say welcome back.
Thank you.
We've missed you.
I haven't gone for a long time.
Yes, and you were where?
Oh, God, I was in the Western Caribbean and then in Bermuda. Did I tell you the story very quickly before we start? I was working on the ships like I do, and every night there's this thing called the Friends of Dorothy meeting, and it's just like... It just is in the schedule of the day, and it, you know, anyone who recognizes what that means. So it's just a way for other gay people on the ship to know. And so I often go on the first night to sort of like,
a cruise.
To get my dick sucked. It's often at the bequest of the cruise director to sort of like be a liaison, just to say like, hey, you know, welcome and blah 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 blah. And sometimes I just go.
Was
to
that
see
like what, a Munchkin joke?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, Friends of Dorothy, and like, oh, hey, you.
And well, yeah, that,
guild,
yeah
go.
Exactly. It's more like, you know, the gays. So anyway, so one night I'm chatting with a bunch of guys, and I look, and it's this guy that I just recognize, and he writes for the Red Eye.
Huh.
And then
wow.
His boyfriend goes, wait a minute, are you Mitchell? And I was like, I am Mitchell. And he's like, I listen to your podcast with Amy Matheny all the time. He was like
See,
a huge fan. And then
love
Jason
it.
Jason Steele is a gay guy in town, and he writes for the Red Eye.
Yes.
And then his partner, who's not in the public eye, so I won't say his name, but anyway, so we ended up sort of like chilling out on this.
Y'all were friends of Dorothy for a week.
We were friends of Dorothy for a week. It was so cool.
That's
that
fabulous.
He was like, wait a minute, I know you. And then it was cool because all the other sort of gay men who were total strangers to all of us, I mean, they had a group of friends and another group of people. You know, I felt famous.
Well,
as you should.
Scott Duff and I were being friends of Dorothy, but we were not on a fabulous cruise ship to
we
fabulous
weren't.
Destinations
no.
at all. Although Scott Duff is now a new transplant, neighbor of ours, so these threesome podcasts could happen with some frequency.
I enjoy it.
We are together.
So we're going to table a little bit of conversation because the next show is going to be all about you, Mitchell. We're just going to sit down
thanks.
With you. Catch up. We really just want to hear all your sexploitations.
I do have some. If that's the
girl, she does.
Yeah, she do. I mean,
do.
if that's going to entice people to listen to the next podcast, I
yes.
will tell you that there were sexploitations.
There
it's
always
true.
Are.
And
okay.
you really need to find him so you just can find some pictures on his phone. The phone pics are
yeah,
good.
There's some good phone pictures.
Yeah,
maybe I'll send
are.
Them to Doc.
Maybe I'll send
maybe,
them.
Yeah.
And Doc can post them on that.
No, I'll get
sued.
Di's going to go blind.
Di will go blind.
I thought lesbians liked... gay boy sex.
I don't like
sometimes.
Gay boy porn, but a lot of lesbians do.
Don't they?
But
yeah.
I'm not like most lesbians.
No, you're certainly
no,
not.
But
really
I'm such
aren't.
A gay man, you'd think I do, but I don't.
No. It's too messy.
Oh, I like messy.
It can be messy.
It can be messy.
Oh, I like messy.
All right.
Girls
that's
can be
true.
Messy. Well, girls are very messy.
Yeah, but your house is immaculate.
It's true. That's just because you boys were coming over. And it was Tony night.
And it was like big, gay, like convergent of stars because it was Tony night and
Judy Garland's 90th birthday.
Yeah. 90.
What would she be doing if she
died
hadn't.
For our sins?
She did.
She died for our sins. Ours. I cross myself and I thank the mother, the daughter, and the holy Jewess. That's my holy trinity. You're going to get that later, and you're going to think it's
brilliant.
You're
going to think
it's
brilliant. Yeah. You will, but I've heard it 7 times tonight, so it's not.
I'm trying it out.
I know, it's good. Everyone's going to have a catchphrase.
So we're going to do a whole show talking about our recap of the Tonys. Also, Kirk and I have the GLBT News, what's going on in the theater, and Richard Knight Jr. is back with us as he takes us on a movie review back to the prequel.
Prometheus.
Mm. What is it a prequel of?
Alien. It's so
Wait a minute,
pretty.
I forget that's not true.
No, but it kind of is. Wait, spoiler alert! Don't!
You saw it?
Yes.
All right.
We'll see what Richard thinks.
Yes.
Get ready to put on your dancing shoes. Dancing Queen, the musical extravaganza that will have you dancing in the aisles to the very best of ABBA and the greatest hits of the 70s. Dancing Queen, June 14th through 24th at Chicago's new Riverfront Theater. For tickets, call 888-556-9484 or visit riverfronttheater.com. That's riverfronttheater.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. A New York federal judge declared the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, to be unconstitutional. United States District Court Judge Barbara Jones ruled in favor of Edie Windsor, who received an estate bill of more than $360,000 after the death of wife Thea Spire. Windsor sued, arguing that DOMA violates the equal protection guarantee of the United States Constitution. Windsor and Spire were partners for 44 years and married in Toronto, Canada, in 2007. Spire died in 2009 when New York recognized out-of-state marriages, although the state's residents couldn't marry at that time.
Also in New York, an appeals court has ruled that calling someone gay is no longer slander. A justice of the Appellate Division's Third Department wrote that earlier ruling equating the words lesbian, gay, or bisexual with defamation were based on a false premise that it is shameful and disgraceful. The court ruled in the case of Mark Yonity, who claimed that a woman had spread a rumor that he was gay, hoping his girlfriend would break up with him.
Michael Carroll says that his partner, acclaimed gay writer and Princeton University lecturer Edmund White, is recovering well after suffering a second stroke. White, 72, is the author of such books as A Boy's Own Story and the co-writer of The Joy of Gay Sex.
Texas is its first lesbian state lawmaker after Mary Gonzalez won the Democratic primary with a 52% of the vote. There's no Republican in the race.
House Speaker John Boehner, a Republican from Ohio, is supporting openly gay Richard Tisay's candidacy to represent the people of Massachusetts' 6th District. Tisay, 49, came out in 2009 before he was named a gubernatorial running mate.
More LGBT-related murders occurred in 2011 than any other year since the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs began collecting data in 1998. In 2011, 30 fatally violent hate crimes were committed against LGBT people, 3 more than the previous year's total. At the same time, overall reports of anti-gay hate violence were down last year. However, authors of the hate crimes report don't feel the drop in reports of violence actually means a decrease in violence.
Paul Bebeau, the Arizona sheriff who announced he was gay after a former lover accused him of abusing his power, has dropped his bid for a congressional seat and will seek another term as sheriff. Bebeau said he decided to withdraw because of complications about the succession of his chief deputy, Steve Henry, as Pinal County Sheriff.
Out HIV-positive New York State legislator Thomas Duane has announced that he's leaving politics. Duane, age 57, is not sick or involved in a scandal. He simply wants to stop commuting to the state capital of Albany from New York City. Duane fought passionately for marriage equality in the Empire State. He also championed services for HIV-positive individuals, mental health care services, and tenants' rights.
The Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, or the DTCC, announced it will offer United States-based employees new transgender health benefits
that include sex reassignment surgery and related prescription drug treatment. Other financial services offering similar benefits include Goldman Sachs, American Express, and Bank of America.
JCPenney's has launched a Father's Day ad that features a family with two gay dads. The print ad shows a real-life couple laughing with their two little kids.
A picture book that features a lesbian couple raising children has upset parents at a Utah elementary school. The book, In Our Mother's House, by Patricia Polacco, was removed from the library shelves at Wind Ridge Elementary School after parents objected to the book's social message. The book is now kept behind the librarian's counter and can only be checked out if a student presents a permission slip from a parent.
Reverend Keith Ratliff has resigned from his post as the Iowa-Nebraska State Conference president of the NAACP after the organization issued a statement supporting marriage equality. Ratliff had been an outspoken opponent of same-sex marriage and spoke at a rally last year in support of limiting marriage to heterosexual couples.
In California, gay Republican Carl DiMaio and straight Democrat Bob Filner will face each other for mayor of San Diego in November after finishing in the top two in the primary. Nathan Fletcher, a straight independent who left the GOP after the local branch endorsed DiMaio, finished third. Bonnie Dumanis, a lesbian Republican, ended up fourth.
The New Mexico Court of Appeals has upheld a ruling that Elaine Photography violated state anti-discrimination laws by refusing to take pictures of a gay couple's commitment ceremony. The court agreed with a previous ruling that stated the photo studio is considered public, similar to a restaurant or a store. The studio argued that its refusal was not an act of discrimination, but a reflection of the owner's religious and moral beliefs.
In world news, Swedish soccer player Anton Hysén, who came out as gay last year, won the Swedish TV show Let's Dance, the country's version of Dancing with the Stars. Hysén and partner Sigrid Bjørnsson prevailed over actress Molly Nutley.
Tunisia has rejected a United Nations Human Rights Council recommendation to decriminalize same-sex acts. Tunisia Human Rights Minister Samir Dilou said that sexual orientation is a Western idea that is incompatible with Islam as well as his country's traditions and culture.
A court in Moscow has upheld the decision to deny requests for pride events for the next 100 years. Gay rights activist Nikolai Alexeyev plans to appeal the Moscow City Court Presidium and the European Court of Human Rights.
Denmark's parliament approved equal marriage laws by a vote of 85 to 24. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Denmark, to which 80% of the national population belongs, will be able to perform marriage ceremonies, although priests will not be obligated to perform weddings. The new law is slated to take effect June 15th.
In entertainment news, Chicago Filmmakers, the not-for-profit media arts organization that produces Reeling, the Chicago Lesbian and Gay International Film Festival, announced that the festival will go on hiatus in 2012, with plans for the festival to return in 2013. The second oldest LGBT film festival in the world, Reeling marked a milestone with its 30th anniversary festival in 2011.
Comcast Xfinity's TV is recognizing Pride Month with a special collection of LGBT programming. It will include award-winning movies, biographical films, documentaries, TV shows, and specials all in June.
In the upcoming series Hit and Miss, Chloe Sevigny of TV's Big Love and the film Boys Don't Cry will star as Mia, a transgender contract killer. The show premieres on DirecTV July 11th.
USA Network's upcoming series, Political Animals, has tapped Vanessa Redgrave to play Diane Nash, a lesbian Supreme Court justice. The series, about a former first lady and presidential candidate, played by Sigourney Weaver, will debut on July 15th.
Andrew Rannells, star of the Broadway smash Book of Mormon and the TV show Girls, has reportedly come out of the closet. The actor slash singer, who is 33, came out while chatting with Vulture about his role as an outed gay man on Girls.
Katherine Joosten, a character actress best known for playing the crotchety neighbor Karen McCluskey on the ABC series Desperate Housewives, has died of lung cancer at the age of 72. Joosten won two Emmy Awards for her performances on Housewives.
Brainchild Films has announced that actress, singer, and Academy Award nominee Janet Jackson has signed on to executive produce Truth, a groundbreaking documentary about the lives of transgender people around the world. Jackson is a long-term ally of the LGBT community and past recipient of the GLAAD Media Vanguard Award.
John Travolta made his first public appearance in the wake of his scandal involving male massage therapists. Travolta gave a speech in front of a celebrity crowd that included Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Jack Nicholson, as he led tributes to Shirley MacLaine, who received the American Film Institute Lifetime Achievement Award. Travolta earlier avoided the red carpet and did not sit in the audience.
And speaking of Travolta, his former secretary is among those claiming the actor had a six-year relationship with personal pilot Doug Goterba. Goterba, a gay man who runs a charter plane service in Camarillo, California, would only say that he worked for Travolta in the 1980s. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Dent Jr. with your Night at the Movies Mega Minute. Ridley Scott should only make sci-fi pictures. Over 30 years after Alien and Blade Runner made their mark, the stylish, famously detailed-oriented director has yet to make a movie that resonates with viewers, Gladiator and Thelma and Louise notwithstanding, as those two have. Now, finally returning to the genre with Prometheus, a sort of prequel to Alien, Scott has again created a film that will join those two as instant classics. But, not unlike Blade Runner, it's one that is tremendously flawed. There's certainly nothing wrong with the look of Prometheus and Scott's production team, which include the return of the original Alien designer H.R. Giger, or Giger, I can never say it, have created a universe that is incredibly intoxicating. The movie, visually stunning, is like an elegant, sleek shark, a lethal killing machine that slowly approaches with unspoken menace, and it's a delicious feeling to be back in the hands of a luxurious master. The first sign of trouble, however, comes from the esoteric setup. A comely pair of archaeologists, girl with the dragon tattoos Noomi Rapace and haughty Logan Marshall Green, travel to a distant planet to check out what they think will be the origins of mankind and those who actually made humans in the first place. The trip, financed by the mysterious Weyland Corporation, is presided over by a cool and efficient robot, Michael Fassbender, fab as usual, and his blonde taskmaster of a boss, Charlize Theron, in a performance reminiscent of Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SF. They're joined by a group of forgettable, easily dispatched supporting characters, unlike those in previous Alien films. The philosophical underpinnings of the story sully what should have been a simple us-versus-them approach that was used in the other Alien pictures. A point emphasized as the group arrives on the faraway planet and the film moves into its action-packed last half. That's when the convoluted script, riddled with unbelievable character motivations matched by a plethora of unrealistic situations, to say the least, becomes a distraction unto itself. Logic disappears from the movie, and it seems as if whole sections had been removed. And though Prometheus is filled with striking set pieces, there is a remarkably icky scene with the gross-up factor of the chestburster of the original. They seem to come at you willy-nilly with no connective tissue to speak of. Even the motivations of the robot become hard to discern, and the movie seems to end five times, yet keeps on going. It also opens the door for a sequel. And yet, with all those flaws, I still want to see Prometheus again and again and again, maybe 10 more times. And I'll wager I'm not alone. Which leads me to reiterate that Scott has indeed created another sci-fi classic, brilliant mess, though it is. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that was your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 11th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the most anticipated new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers on the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies, soaring harmonies weave a musical tapestry of colorful characters, giving voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. Now playing through July 29th, for tickets go to lookingglasstheater.org.
Broadway director David Cromer delivers a powerful new production of Jonathan Larson's Tony Award-winning musical, Rent. Produced by About Face Theater, an American theater company, Rent is playing now through July 1st. Time Out Chicago gives the show 4 stars, and Chicago Tribune's Chris Jones says he has never seen a more moving, honest staging. tickets available through aboutfacetheater.com.
David Drake's The Night Larry Kramer Kissed Me, a beautiful play about a gay man's coming into a life of protest and glory, is presented in a 20th anniversary production by Glitterati Productions and Pride Films and Plays. Chad Ryan stars in The Night Larry Kramer Kissed Me, June 20th through July 1st at Luna Central, 3914 North Clark Street. For tickets, visit pridefilmsandplays.com.
Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad, playing now through August 5th at the Goodman Theater. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com. Modern Family meets Soul Food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
I want it. I need it. I want somebody. I want it. I need it. I want your eyes to turn and heal it. I want it. I want somebody, baby. Now this is my turn. I don't want any more doors. 'Cause I'm walking on the street.
So we're back, and it's Tony's All the Time, and I've got my two favorite gays and co-hosts on the show, Scott Duff and Mitchell Fain, to recap the Tonys for us, because I'm verklempt. I can't do it.
You are. You're very emotional.
I'm very verklempt. I'm very emotional. I love the Neil Patrick Harris, but I'm going to go.
He did such a good job.
He did such a good job, and I have to go watch him on the Oprah's Next Chapter with his lovely husband. So what did you all think was the hit of the night?
Favorite moment.
Oh, when a dude man from Once, when he won.
Oh, yeah, what's his name?
What's his
God,
name?
The lead guy
Where
from
are
Once.
We?
Just a beautiful, beautiful boy.
Oh.
Steve
Kazee?
Steve
Kazee, yeah. Oh, whatever. Oh, man.
Also, they're all dancing while playing string instruments.
All right, let me tell you. Sign me up for any show that has a portly woman playing a concertina having to do some, like,
portly is such a sweet way
right,
of saying
I mean,
it.
She's a handsome
she
woman.
She was a handsome lady.
She was thick.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that she had to do some Lord of the Dance choreography. Like, we're Irish and we're stomping and I'm playing a concertina. And there was a man who had a cello strapped to his chest.
Dancing.
Doing the same choreography
meanwhile,
as the thick lady.
Meanwhile, the choreography for the weirdly fascistic looking Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes, it was...
Was the worst choreography I think I've seen.
And I do take offense to that, because if you look at that choreography and you go and look at the videotape of my recent production of You're in Town that I did with college students in Memphis, Tennessee, it's very similar. So
maybe it worked in You're in Town, because it did not work on the Tony Awards.
It didn't really, but I was like, oh, I can be. I'm a Broadway choreographer. That is what I.
It just was.
Say.
That was weird.
It was very strange.
Jesus, yeah, I think that not only was his performance. The performance from Once I thought was really beautiful and so
that
different.
That was gorgeous.
For Broadway, gorgeous. It made me immediately want to go out and buy the score. His speech was so heartfelt about his mom
lovely.
Passing away.
Oh.
But we were saying that this was the year of the newbies, right? Because so many
Pretty
people
much,
who had never...
Yeah.
Like the guy who's from the play Two Governors, he won as well. This young guy from England who beat, like, legends. He beat... Frank Langella,
John Lithgow,
James
Philip
Earl Jones,
Seymour Hoffman. He beat Darth Vader.
He beat Darth Vader.
James Corden.
Yeah.
James Corden beat Darth Vader. He beat Truman Capote.
Right.
He beat Dracula.
Right.
I mean, he beat Third Rock from the Sun, dude. I mean, he pulled it out. And his speech was really moving too. And then the chick from Venus and Furs, her speech was adorable.
I thought you were going to say it was the show of Newsies as opposed to movies.
Well, Newsies.
Yeah, Newsies. Well, let me tell you.
If they took their shirts off, don't you think they'd sell a hell of a
story? They would, but they're supposed to be 15-year-old boys.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
They're 15-year-old
not, boys take their shirts off. The dancing in Newsies is extraordinary. I believe it won
choreography. That was some weird, bendy, flexible stuff.
Yeah, it was acrobatic.
It really was.
I thought it was a good show overall. And can we just talk about Mr. Neil Patrick Harris? He's so friggin' charming.
He's so easy. He's
so
just
easily
lovely.
Charming.
Easy.
I was saying to your lover, Mr. Jerry Dye, earlier.
My gay lover.
Your gay lover. And Amy's former lover.
Yeah, it's a rich tapestry.
It's an overshare.
I know. We'll explain it later. I think when the history of gay rights in sort of all this era is written, meaning the era of Will and Grace and Ellen,
right.
I think that Neil Patrick Harris will have his own chapter because he you know, there he is, the host of the Tony Awards, this national show.
For the third time.
And he's an openly gay man with children and a partner and who are both very visible. And
he plays a straight man on television.
He plays a straight man on TV.
He's a
womanizer.
Right. And nobody balks at it. So it disproves that thing that gay men can't play straight and that the American public won't buy it. He just is very subtly and with charm and above all talent.
Yeah.
Winning. In a way, he has the goodwill and the affection. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't love him.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that it's going to go a long way for the next generation.
Well, it's kind of like you.
And you.
It really is. No, I think there are a lot of people who don't like me, but I know nobody who doesn't like Mitchell Payne.
That's very sweet to say.
That's true.
It's very sweet to say. And I think that is part of, you know, somebody... I was actually talking with someone sort of off topic of the Tonys, but
yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about this being gay people of a certain age. I think I'm the oldest in this room, but...
Yes, you are.
Yes, fuck off.
You really are.
when I was younger, I was more of an activist, you know?
Mm.
And then I think you get older and sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not as actively an activist anymore.
Right.
Mostly because I'm tired and mostly because I'm
busy.
I'm busy and
you have a big life.
I have a big life and I'm also, I think as we get older, I'm less angry. Not that I don't think, not that there are things that don't make me furious, but I think as you get older, one of the few joys of getting older is that you sort of find a balance with that and that maybe that kind of anger is a younger person's game, Larry Kramer notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that I could have that kind of passion.
Right.
And I don't, but I think that what it is that we do, and I don't know what you guys think, is that the more we become wholly ourselves and
mm-hmm.
live our authentic lives, then that becomes its activism in its own
way.
Oh,
absolutely.
Like, if you're
well,
right,
hello.
And that there are, that people are drawn to me as a personality, right, that means gay and straight. So that means that there are straight people who meet
right.
me, or you, and think, oh, gay people aren't so bad.
Yeah,
I
think the best thing we can do
is like
Scott.
NPH.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying
just
to say. That's
you
part
just
of
live
what
your life.
We live
yeah.
our lives as we get older, and I don't, you know, when I was younger and ACT UP and marching, and you know, when I was growing up in Providence, and but now I think my activism is more on a personal level. Do you feel
well,
that?
Well, it's all about doing your own thing, being true to yourself,
yeah.
and being kind.
Yeah,
being kind and being, as you said, being true to yourself, but also kind of being just respectful.
Yep,
and. Understanding and compassionate
doesn't mean we become doormats. It's not
no,
like, it's not like if
no,
shit
no, no.
gets up, goes up my ass, I don't say something about it or respond to it.
Well,
but
no,
I think
you text me every time shit goes up your ass.
It's true, I do.
I've text you a couple times, like, hey, come with me. Like, I can't.
I can't. I get shit
on my ass.
but
it gets so dirty when you both are here.
I know it's true,
it's
but
true.
I think that like. But even, you know, working on these cruise ships, I meet a lot of people from many, many,
mm-hmm.
many walks of life. Some more enlightened than others, we can say. Especially when you port out of a city like Tampa.
right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, live there.
Okay, so, but I meet a lot of people, you know, and they come to see our show, and especially younger people, and when we do our improv sets, I am not shy about outing myself in an improv you know, sort of playing a gay character or calling myself out on what, whatever.
Right.
And I do it quite deliberately because in those situations you can often hear sort of homophobic, you know, when you're getting suggestions during an improv.
Fellatio.
Right, or like, in this next scene, Amy has a secret. What's that secret? She's gay!
She's a faggot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I try to circumvent that by outing myself first,
right,
before
mm-hmm.
that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, doing it honestly and with humor,
right,
gets groups of like 19 or 20 year old boys who may have wanted to be hostile, mm-hmm. like, "Oh man, you're so funny," or "Dude,
it's
that was
okay,
so great,"
yeah.
or like, "Are you actually gay? Oh, that's cool," which I think is maybe a different. Seriously,
yeah.
and I think
yeah.
it's a different response. Do you find that as you get older that you, I don't know, that I'm less angry and I'm more about being myself as far as educating people?
Oh yeah, well, we've talked about this many times
yeah.
on the podcast about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like my time with young people and being a teacher.
Yes, being a teacher.
So yeah,
lead
no,
by
I,
example.
I totally get what you're saying.
Well, and I
and
think
again,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just you're back to NPH.
Uh-huh.
Like, he really did a great job, and some of his stuff tonight was just flat out funny. Like
funny.
That Spider-Man bit.
So funny. The Spider-Man bit was really funny. His opening song was so clever.
That song with like
all
of the
scores
songs,
that were
oh
scores.
My god. Also, he's so, you know, this is what I love about, this is just like nothing about gay, just about pure fucking talent.
Yeah.
It's like he rehearses. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Fly by
like,
the seat of his
that
pants.
Bitch is like in the shower.
Yes, he is
singing those songs. He's walking his dog. He's
yes.
like nursing the babies on his left titty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I know he is
working these
he's
songs.
Working,
exactly.
like, working these songs. Like hello.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is not an accident. He
no.
he works hard at what he
yeah.
does. I just have so much respect for him. And he's
why
a
don't they have him host the Oscars?
You know, there was talk
he's
about
really
that
ready
last year
to do
when
the
they,
Emmys or the Oscars.
When
he's
Eddie
done,
Murphy
he's done
dropped
the
out.
Emmys.
Oh, that's right.
He's done the Emmys. Like I think. Two times, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
yeah.
When Eddie Murphy dropped out last year, there was talk of maybe NPH. I think the problem is that he's not a movie star, really.
Yeah.
You know? He'd have to have a hit movie.
Yeah.
To,
yeah. Harold and Kumar 4.
Right. I mean, you know.
Really? No.
If he would...
I don't
he,
know.
Although it's interesting. I wonder if, you know, maybe somebody will write him a
yeah.
a movie.
I will.
Somebody
I mean,
write him a movie because he should be hosting
Paul
the Oscars.
Paul Stovall will.
Paul Stovall will write
Paul
a movie.
Paul Stovall will. He'll be Christian in the immediate family of the movie.
Yes.
yeah, the Tony Awards I thought was so entertaining this year. Did you guys?
Yes, I really enjoyed it. And let me tell you, I once just seemed so really wonderful.
I know, I can't believe I didn't
and
go
very intriguing.
It.
Like I did.
I love
not
the movie,
movie
and I love the soundtrack so much.
Jerry Dye, my gay lover, saw the movie and was just about to come undone.
Yeah,
like,
undone
it just really
too.
Was a rich emotional experience, and he was like, "It's almost a musical." And then when it came up like this, and I don't know what it's about. Like I don't know what it's about. I'm a blank slate. And just judging from what I saw in the Tonys tonight, it seems very simply done with an ensemble of actor musicians.
Yeah, that's how they introduced them, right? Actor musicians was like. All
right,
actor musicians.
Right,
I it's
mean,
interesting because you know it's a story about artists finding one another, and artists creating art together, and through that art, falling in some sort of love with one another. You know, that's essentially what it's about, and that it happens for that moment in the creation of what you're creating. And I think
right.
artists understand that it's a very
yeah,
theatrical,
yeah,
yeah.
very theatrical experience, right? To like. Come together with people that you create something, you build something, you experience it emotionally with all your senses with people, and then it's transient, right? It goes away. It's not like a movie. It's not like it's going to be up there on cellular.
Right,
it's like
disposable
it's,
art.
Right.
It's gone.
And there's
it's,
a man
this
with
moment.
A cello strapped to his chest
right,
doing
dancing.
Lord
dancing.
Of the Rings.
Megan said something
Lord
interesting.
Of the Rings.
Megan was watching
mm-hmm.
the Tonys with us, and she said something interesting that, of course, it was the past couple of years have been the year of the newbies in a way because... 2 years ago was the year that like 12 shows closed on Broadway in like 2 months, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
of the economy
yeah, yeah.
and like that. And so suddenly Broadway had to start over again. So it's interesting. It's starting over again with some, pretty, you know, last year was the South Park guys, one for Book of Mormon, and that
right.
you know suddenly these interlopers
mm-hmm.
came in, and now this musical once, which is so not traditional musical in any way, and but with a beautiful score and beautiful music, and it's interesting that there's all this new
well,
blood,
and it's about reinterpreting the form of what a musical
yep.
is And also,
right, is it a play with music?
Not pandering to the lowest common denominator. You know, as somebody who works with Second City, they always encourage you to
aim for the higher intelligence.
And I think with something like Once, which just seems so, it does seem artistic. It does seem kind of out there for people who aren't necessarily theater goers. And strangely engaging. And I think part of that has to do with the video monitors, because we're in the very video.
Yeah, we are.
In sort of
I know that fucking video of Jesus for Jesus.
That was weird, and it was looked kind of like.
I kind of liked it, but I was also creeped out by it.
Times out, I was on a big tirade about like how lovely aiming for your highest intelligence. But you know, I'm a good Episcopal boy. What the hell is up with, like, Jesus all over Broadway?
Oh, my God. There was, like, six mentions of Jesus on Broadway.
Usually it's all the mentions.
It was about Jesus.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Godspell.
And then there was one other one, wasn't there?
Book of Mormon.
Oh, the Book of Mormon. Right. It started with a song about Jesus.
Right.
I mean, it was like the Jesus Tony Awards.
But generally, it's the Jewish Tony Awards. So,
well, it's always, if
and
you notice.
That's kind of the Jesus Tony
Awards. It's always the Jewish
Tony
Awards.
Right.
I was going to say, it's always the Jewish Tony Awards, because if you notice, even like Porgy and Bess, I was almost made it. Right. I almost said, like, if you look at the credits of, like, you know, when they go up to win.
Jews.
Hey, it's like 20 Jews. Ira Goldman
Exactly. Produced by, right.
Exactly.
Listen, my people love the theater.
It's true.
Hey, speaking of people who love the theater, two awards tonight I thought were so cool. One was the first award of the night to Judith Light, who's the boss.
Yep.
And you know what? She could be
Angela.
Our boss. She's such an ally.
She's a big friend of the gays. Do you know that About Face Theater, when we first began, we were commissioned to do a piece about DOMA, about the Defense of Marriage Act, that we performed at the 96th Democratic Convention here in Chicago, and Judith Light was there.
Yeah.
And she was weeping. She was like, I want to thank this theater company and this piece for speaking out against this legislation.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of performers who are gay-friendly, obviously, and but Judith Light is above and beyond.
Judith Light is like,
she's not just like a, you know, a friend of the gay community.
No,
she's
consistent, decades.
She's part of our community.
Yeah.
She's a heterosexual, but she's a part of our community in a way.
She's capital.
So it was great to see her. Also, you know, she's one of those actresses who's been working for years, and through twists of fate, instead of winning a Tony Award 20 years ago, was on a soap opera, probably her favorite choice. And it was on a sitcom, and, you know, but through perseverance and talent, now she's got a goddamn Tony Award.
It's true. I watched Broadway.com. I've seen a little backstage video.
Oh, you did?
I
have to watch
I'm
that.
I'm so silly about that sort of thing.
I know. It's great.
I forget that there's a whole resource there. She's really kind of like, okay, my career has been so strange and weird, because she started on stage and then she got exactly what you said.
Yeah.
The fact that it was like, it's kind of full circle. It's really good.
Well, and it's just
really
like
beautiful.
What in our last week's interview with Shelley Wright, you know, we were talking about, you know, the change with the community really coming from the allies and not within the community.
Right.
Like the change on a mainstream level. We were talking about President Obama's declaration, you know, a week and a half ago about same-sex marriage, and now what's happened with the NAACP, you know, backing it, and there's been rifts now there, and you know, everything that's happening.
JCPenney having two dads now. Yeah, but they're suffering. Their numbers are in, and it's and they're down.
Well, but you have to kind of stand out there, you know, on the edge, and they are. So gays start going to JCPenney.
Yeah, I know. Come on, gays, get over your vanity. They have quality products at affordable prices.
Thank you. What they're saying. I just read this today before we go to the other award that you thought was special was that. JC, you know, that there's this idea that, like, the cultural elite support gay marriage. And the cultural elite, if that even is such a thing, is shopping at Macy's, not at JCPenney. Well, you know what, kids? Get your ass to JCPenney.
Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't heard Macy's come out for us. I mean, I'm
right.
sure they have.
No, they have.
But
I'm sure they
have. Macy's is a very big proponent.
But JCPenney's stepping is going against the grain.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
just to clarify that, Macy's actually has a huge campaign with HRC during Pride Month.
Oh,
yeah,
they do.
Many of their stores.
I'm just saying that JCPenney is like
so
not typically associated.
So go to Macy's.
Go buy
go
your garanimals at JCPenney.
I love a garanimal.
Me too.
I always go with
the monkey. The monkeys and the rhinos were always
I loved
a good
monkey
on
too.
And a tiger.
Tell me how to
match
my
own
tiger.
What's the other one that you were talking about?
So, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, God.
Can you two gay men talk about Hugh Jackman for a second?
I'm
not sure I can with any sense of...
Without being
any sense of proportion.
Weird. It's terrible. I want to...
He's like Neil Patrick Harris, but the straight version.
He is, because, you know, he's so...
He's so kind.
He's so kind.
He's so beloved.
Kind and gracious.
And he does well in like the theater community, but he also does well with the Wolverine like butch. Macho.
Yes,
he's able to just move within.
You said this earlier too. He's like there's very few performers because I'm such an old school gay, right? And I love sort of old MGM and you know that kind of talent. The you know Gene Kelly's of the world. I feel like Hugh Jackman could have been famous then. Right, he could have had a combination of Gene Kelly and Gary Cooper's career,
and
nobody
yeah.
had that career.
Yeah.
It's like he's this other hybrid that could have existed then, and nobody even had that career even back then. He's
well,
so talented.
Now I don't know if this is an urban legend or not, but you know he was not originally supposed to be Wolverine.
Really,
it was supposed to be oh god, the dude man in the first Mission Impossible. Who was the arch villain? You know, the one where Tom Cruise is rushing towards him towards
I've
on
never
a motorbike.
Seen one Mission Impossible.
And they ran towards each other and they hit each other. After
I know,
their
but I
won't
know who it is.
Well, Dude Man broke his collarbone and couldn't be Wolverine. So they were going back on a big casting search, and then Hugh Jackman walked in, and for his audition for Wolverine, allegedly, as legend says. He walked in, and it was when he did the Encore series of Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And he walked in, and he sang, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
As Wolverine.
As Wolverine.
Brilliant.
And that's what got him the job.
He's just the real deal, and he loves
is.
The gays.
He loves
he
the gays.
Loves
he
the
raised
gays.
$2 million for Broadway Cares. For
$2 million during a limited run of a one-man show.
How
he
fantastic.
Raised $2 million. First of all, that tells you how many people went to see a show. A fuck ton of people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he raised $2 million.
The power that everybody
could
do,
could,
you know,
right?
with,
oh, I know,
after a show to make those speeches that we make, you know, with Season of Concern here in Chicago, and how
right.
powerful and how much it impacts a life. And he just has such his feet on the ground, you know. He just seems like the most gracious
and his
gracious,
wife.
Gracious
his
man.
Wife looked like the most adorable Australian Muppet.
She
ever.
Did. She dressed like a Muppet.
She did.
Oh.
Her marabou and Austin
she
feathers
adorable.
Were going on.
Oh, can we talk
I
about fashion for 1 second?
Yes.
Please. Oh.
Amanda Seyfried? What's her name?
Seyfried.
There's no J.
Yeah, but it's an S-E-Y.
It's Seyfried or whatever.
Seyfried.
I'm sorry. You guys love her. She's a little bug-eyed weird for me.
See, I love her acting. I think she's
love
beautiful.
Her.
She
gets it on with Julianne Moore and Chloe.
I
can't
that's
her.
Fine, whatever, but her
she
belt.
Was, but her, oh, she was a mess tonight.
Yeah.
Watch Joan Rivers Fashion Police next week. I bet
you
she gets
like a lump, too.
I think
like,
the men outdid the women at the Tonys, which is a little strange.
Except for Judith Light.
Judith Light.
Flawless.
Lovely.
Also, Angela Lansbury looks flawless.
Always.
Bernadette, like a mermaid.
Bernadette, always. She's 80 years old. She's still dressing like a mermaid. She looked amazing.
And she always talks like she's about to sing like a robot.
She's saving her voice. Patti LuPone did not dress age appropriate.
No, but Patti LuPone and Manny Patinkin had the best little introduction.
Right. Right. They sang to each other to
after
introduce
the
revivals.
Montage.
For all of the revivals, yeah.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
Well, it's
brilliant.
Another year. So go support the theater. Go to
I know, I do have to say I went to see Evita, which is a big hit.
Yes.
It's not getting the best reviews, but I saw Evita on Broadway about 2 weeks
ago. And Ricky,
ago.
Thumbs up.
He was so good. The show was so good. I loved every second of it. I actually saw the understudy, the cover, because the Elena Rogers only does it 6 shows a week. And so on Wednesday nights, this woman named Christine DeChico plays Evita, and she was flawless.
Mm.
I mean, we loved her. I went with some friends, and you know, we made that decision like, oh, should we, you know, change our tickets or should we go see it anyway? And we've had good luck as theater goers with understudies. Also understudies on Broadway, like before you decide that an understudy is not going to do it,
genius.
Think twice because this chick blew us away. And the show, if you're in New York, I thought it was marvelous, and it's great to see Ricky Martin on Broadway.
I love that show so much.
I know that people titter as if like there's something silly about him doing work of that caliber, but I'll tell you what, he was great.
Nothing silly about Ricky Martin.
Nothing. No, he's talented.
He's
another one that is now living. Like
the
Neil Patrick Harris,
yeah.
You know, he's really doing it.
He's living Evita Loca.
Thank
you.
Good night.
You're here all
whatever.
Night.
Hey. No, but Ricky
living
Martin,
La Vita Loca.
He's my love.
Yeah, he's
okay,
sexy.
Well, we're all going to share him. Even the lesbians like Ricky Martin.
I think.
That's the bumper
sticker.
But
he's mine.
Even lesbians like Ricky Martin.
Yeah, Evita. Even lesbians love Ricky Martin. Everybody, Mitchell Fain will tell us about his sexploitation adventures.
No names.
No, of course we're going to have
that. I will give ages, though.
Okay, ages and names, so we don't get sued. It's the Next Hole podcast, back with Mitchell, but you're kind of back now. Well, you're actually really back.
I'm back.
And also, Mitchell and I will be talking about the new Play in Town Immediate Family, directed by Felicia Rashad.
Felicia.
Dev also it's, saw it. So
well, then you can come over
too.
As well.
It's
we have
Felicia.
Not seen it yet. Felicia.
Felicia.
Not Felicia. It's Felicia.
It's Felicia.
Felicia Rashad, Immediate Family, that our friend Paul Oakley Stovall is a
very tall man.
Very excited. We're very excited for him. So we're going to go see that, and we'll talk about that as well next week. So I hope everybody has a good week. I got to get over this summer cold. It sucks.
I know.
Sucks.
You're annoying me.
Thanks, gays.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.